you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, October 27th, 2020, Testimony Tuesday. And it's an exciting time here because I'm reconnecting with an old friend. And how many years has it been, Roosevelt, since you were a part of our bus trip up to see Dr. Lutzer's last sermon, Sunday sermon, at the Moody Church? When was that?
I'm sorry that you asked me that. I forget how long ago.
I don't know.
It was more than 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was 4 or 5 years
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and your wife, Gladys. So
yes.
We send out prayers for Gladys and you. You're both serving the people of Danville. I think you as an alderman and
yes.
Gladys as school board. Serving in unique ways, and we're going to talk a little about the Three Kings of Peace that you're a part of and unique work that God has you doing there in and around the Danville area. And then also joining us is Merle Metz, and I guess we've connected over the years through Singing Men concerts and mutual friends and maybe some different gatherings or radio events, but Merle, you currently now live in the Danville area, right? You're a real estate broker. You help people find their homes, their dream homes. And who knows, you might even be working for Great News Radio. We're talking about the placemat program.
Oh,
salesperson
yes.
in and around the Danville
you
area.
You got that in quick.
People walk in, you know, I assign them new jobs
they
or hire
been
them
here
on the
15
spot.
Minutes.
Yeah, that's right. So thank you both for driving in from Danville. And how this Testimony Tuesday was set up, I don't know if it was a Facebook post, but I was looking at Facebook, and then sometimes you get those other little messages or updates, and I saw something about Christian businessmen holding like a noon prayer gathering.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of read, and I said, oh, I wonder who's behind this, and Danville's a great community. We have a lot of listeners there and a lot of readers of the Prime Lifetimes paper. And so I kind of scrolled through and clicked on a few links, and I'm like, I wonder who's behind this. I didn't see any name of an individual. And then there was where you could comments or, you know, and so I said, hey, this is Mark Burns. I'm interested in knowing more about your prayer meeting there in Danville and the Christian Business Association or gatherings. And so then Merle responds, I think the next day or something, and a phone number and an email, and I said, hey, I think for Testimony Tuesday, that'll be interesting to hear mm-hmm. how you've started this prayer gathering, what you hope to accomplish, and maybe some of our listeners tuned in today will say, we can do that in Springfield if it's not happening, or
yeah.
in Beardstown, or Whitehall, or Macomb, or Decatur, or Bloomington, and so forth. So, Merle, how about on this Testimony Tuesday, before we talk about this special prayer gathering, take us a little bit through some of your faith journey so we can live up to our Testimony Tuesday, and then we can hear about how God put on your heart to start this special prayer noon gathering. I guess it's every Wednesday, right?
Correct. You know, it's interesting because Roosevelt and I, on our way over here, we're sharing our testimony with each other, and it was so different. Roosevelt stuck with the Lord his whole life over. Hmm. And when I was a young man, I went the other direction. But it's great how God will put us back in the place where he's using our giftings. And Roosevelt and I got to do some community work here just recently, and I realized the potential that he has to reach people.
Right.
So when we got to the point where we wanted to start this prayer meeting, he was the first man I thought of and contacted. And it has been a treat. Don't you believe that, Roosevelt?
I sure do. Absolutely. I believe it absolutely. I'm glad you got in touch with me.
Oh, yeah. And it's been good. And it's the one thing about the prayer meeting was it was on my heart to hold this in a public place. And I walked up and down the main street of Danville trying to find a place that would let us do that. And I was turned down time and time again. But I was persistent because I really believe God wanted us to have a businessman's prayer meeting that was not in a church, that would draw just anybody that would wanted to come. And it worked out that the Fisher Theater opened their doors for us, and we've been holding a Wednesday noon prayer meeting there through October and probably into November.
That's great.
People need to get out and vote. We need to stand up for who we are and believe and pray for one another because mm-hmm. election's coming up. Mm-hmm. This world is in turmoil, and we need to be the light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Don't you believe in that?
Absolutely.
Now, what was the catalyst to bring about this prayer gathering, this weekly on Wednesdays, was it something that the Lord just put on your heart because you were reading Scripture, or you read a book, or you saw it modeled in other areas?
Yes, that's exactly right. There's a book out called The New York City Noon Prayer Meeting, and I read that story, and in 1857, the country was in terrible condition. The New York branch of one of the Ohio life insurance companies went broke from corruption and embezzlement, and it was a domino effect. There were banks closing, people were out of work, there was turmoil, and the Dutch Reformed Church started this prayer meeting, and it started out with four, and the next week there was a few more, and the next week, and by the end of it, there were tens of thousands of people gathering up to pray. And the historians that I have read after said, this one event changed this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a heart. I thought, you know what? Any of us have the ability to stand up and make our voice heard. And who knows what small things might turn into big. So that's how we got started.
That's so good, Merle. I remember picking up that book. I think you left it here. I'm not sure. And I got about halfway through, and it's so inspiring. I mean, I'm so excited that you're doing this based on that, because that revival just, like, took off.
Yes. It's what Mark said, though. See, it can go out in all these places where this radio station's at. You who are out there can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Roosevelt, when he said 1857, you said, huh. Now, you weren't quite born then, but you've been an old-timer that's been serving the Lord for a long time. In fact, I don't know how many years young you are, but you're still very active. As mentioned, you're a Ward 3 alderman. You're active in the community. You're a part of Three Kings of Peace, a unique way of sowing positive things into the youth and helping them keep away from crime or how to deal with different things. But share a little of your own faith journey, where you grew up and who helped you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way.
I came to Christ as a young man, born in Mississippi. I was a babe when my folks left Mississippi and headed to Chicago. Mm. And so I was raised in Chicago all up until the time I was a young man and on my own, and I began to listen to the radio. You know, we would listen to the stations, the doo-wop stations, and all of that. And every now and then, someone would come on and say something about the Lord. I don't know how the Lord allowed that to happen.
Mm.
Some preacher would come on and say something about Jesus, heaven and hell. And then I got a job working at the Union Station in Chicago. While I was there, going to work, I'd see people out passing out what they call tracts. And I would pick up these tracts, read these tracts, and I would read about how much God loves us and all of that. And then I would listen. I wouldn't listen, but I would hear this preacher who was Billy Graham. And he would talk about how much God loved me and all of that. And it appears as though God was tracking me down to give my life to him, to become a Christian. One thing happened quickly. I had an auntie, one of my uncle's wives, died all of a sudden. At that time, no one had died in our family. No one. Until here, I'm a young man now. Nobody. And all of a sudden, she died. All of a sudden. And I got to thinking, I said, well, wow, since she's dead, we called her BB. Her name was Dolores. I said to myself, well, I wonder what happens to her when she died. And then I said, what happened to me if I die? What happened to my mama, who I call my dear? I said, what would happen if she died? And so that was on my heart.
And how old are you at this point?
I would say I would be about 19,
okay.
18 and 19. And then all of a sudden I started, you know, I'm listening to the radio, listening to the doo-wop. Some preacher would come on, got this job downtown at the Union Station, get these tracks. Listen to the radio again. This preacher, Billy Graham, I didn't know it was Billy Graham. He'd come on, talk about how much God loved me, but he did. He would quote that John 3:16, and it seems to me that God was stalking me.
Yeah, well, they call it the hound dog from heaven.
Yeah, he was stalking me. And an old friend that I had when we were kids in a summer camp, he would come by this neighborhood and tell us about a camp, Camp Marcel's in Marcel, Illinois. And he was a preacher. And I got to thinking about him. I said, I wonder how Peter's doing. Found out that he was the secretary of the church. And I go to this church and said, Pete, we haven't seen in a long time. And he said, well, why don't you come to the church on Sunday? So I started coming to the church on Sunday. Meanwhile, I'm still working at the station downtown there, still reading these tracks, still listening to Billy Graham when he comes on, still playing these things. And all of a sudden, it was just, I said, I need to make a decision. And I think Billy, on our way here, I was telling her, Billy really had a lot to do with me coming to Christ. And so I came to Christ. Then I joined the church, and the rest is history.
Praise God.
Now, for somebody tuning in, okay, interesting. Coming to Christ, what does that mean? So maybe walk somebody through that's maybe never experienced the love of God or didn't understand. Like most of us understand we're sinners, we fall short, but how do you come to Christ, or who is God, or what is this love?
I can't wait to answer that. Yeah. to try to answer it in R.J. Davis's way. Well, the thing was, when B passed, I thought about dying. And I would hear this preacher, Billy Graham, talk about heaven and hell. And when we were kids, we would hear these preachers talk about that, that when you die, you go into a place called hell. But if Jesus is with you. And then reading these tracts showed me how John 3:16, the words in the Bible says how you would get to be saved. Mm-hmm. And that had me to know, save me? What do I mean? What happens if I die? And then I read scripture where the scripture talked about in Christ, there's no east and west. In Christ, Jesus said, if you follow me, the Bible talks about, oh, if I can just pull up some of the verses now. Like, well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him be saved. I started reading the Bible, believing that what that was, but I wasn't really sure. Then I started going to church, Peter Brown's church. And then at that church, I started hearing the preacher preach. And then I started reading the Bible more and more, and I started talking. I said, God, wherever you are, I said, I don't want to die and go to a place called hell. And the Bible said, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the mm-hmm. life, St. John. And so I just took the words of what the Bible says. And then it would read the verses like, it is appointed unto us once to die, but after that, the judgment. And I thought about my Auntie B. I thought about it. I said, hey, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father. And that took me through. But you know what? I want to say this right quick. As I witness and share with people now, I tell them, when you hear stories like I heard, and then you go forth to take a seat up there and sit down, I said, a lot of that's true, and it's really good. I said, but the thing is, you got to really grow after that. Mm-hmm. You got to know. I said, because so many times people make that decision, and then they get back into that lifestyle and say, oh, well, it was just an emotional thing. It's more than an emotional thing. It's from the heart thing. And I said, we have to grow into it. But I believe when you're saved, I think I can believe it's instant. But as you walk with God, you know, the scripture talks about sowing good seed, this kind of ground, that kind of ground. And so I just love to talk about it.
That is a great testimony, Roosevelt. And, you know, I think that Danville is very fortunate to have such a godly person as yourself as an alderman. I really do. Thank
you. And would I refer to you as Reverend Pastor Roosevelt Davis? What was your calling after Union Station?
I can tell you this right quick. I'm a member of the Second Church of Christ in Denver, and I just love that church.
Oh,
and they all call me R.J. there.
R.J. The
Roosevelt Jackie Davis, so they call me R.J.
Nice.
Right. Well, how did you get to connect with Merle and then buy into this fact that you want to help host this prayer gathering?
Well, our group, the Three Kings of Peace, they met some of the people that Merle knows, and we were wanted to have a sale to make some money, and they allowed us to come to their farm to get corn, and then to sell the corn, and that's how I met him.
It's interesting, you know, you look back, God puts people together. Mm-hmm. And R.J. and I, we were on Vermilion Street selling sweet corn. And he immediately connected with me. And we began to talk. And we really kind of forgot about selling sweet corn. We were just preaching to one another. And,
preaching to one another. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Standing on the curb, directing traffic, preaching to one another.
Yeah. And you know how that happened. We have a new pastor at Second Church of Christ. His name is Greg. I can't think. Greg will get me if I can't call his last name now. But Greg is the pastor now. But before that, pastor was Drew Metzer. And just before Drew left, he would teach a Bible study. Well, he taught the Bible study, and I was in his Bible study. But before he left as his pastor, he said in one Tuesday Bible study, he said, you know, he said, when we get to heaven, he said, I'm afraid we're going to wish we had done more. Mm-hmm. And so I sat there and I raised my hand, because Drew said, any more thing before we close out the Bible study? And I raised my hand, and I said, Drew, what was that you said? And it was almost like he was glad I asked that question. Because it's about 50, 40, sometimes we have 40, 45 people in our Bible study on Tuesday. He says, I'm afraid when we get to heaven, we're going to wish we had done more. And when he said that, that really resonated with me some months ago. And I'm trying to do that one day at a time.
That's a powerful statement, that when we get to heaven, we'll wish we'd done more.
Wish
we'd
done more.
Yes. Ah, that's very, that just kind of hits
And so everywhere I go now, I try to tell people, let me just say this quickly and I'll get out of your way, somebody else. My witness now is when I share with people, I say, bring me the worst person you know. I said, bring me the worst person you know. Not the worst person in history that's dead, but the worst person you know that's living now. And I want to talk to them. And I don't say anything. And they look at me. Someone said, well, Reverend, or Alderman, or RJ, well, what would you tell them? And I say, I'm glad you asked. I said, I would tell them that God loves them. I would tell them that no matter what you've done, where you've been, where you're going, God loves you. I said, because there's two things you can put your foot on. Two things. A lot of things won't change, but I will tell you two things is never going to change. He said, what's that? I said, number one, God loves you, and the devil hates you.
You know, he's got secrets, and he shared some of those secrets with me. But if you drive around Danville, you will see these signs on front porches and in yards that says, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, oh. I do. That's a ministry.
And that's one of the things that got me inspired with him. And I said, where do these signs come from? And he said, well, I've got a place that I buy 100 of them and give them away constantly.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, this man's heart is in the right place. Yeah. I've got to get to know him.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
So, Merle, if God was going to answer your prayers in the coming days, Merle and Roosevelt, what would it be? Greater attendance at this gathering? A way to get the word out more? How can people get involved? Or what would you want to say to them about the special prayer gathering on Wednesdays in Danville?
You know, in this brochure it says that I had printed up, as our situation is today, the author stated, we need confidence to ask God and that He will do great things for us. And we need to join together and pray for our city and our nation and most of all for our own hearts, that the world would know that there's a God in heaven and that He's at work right here and now. And what RJ and I are looking for is folks that really want to pray, that have a heart to intercede for the country and for our leaders and for the people around us, the hearts that don't know Him and the hearts that do, to stand up and make their voice known.
And now, where do you folks meet?
We meet in the Fisher Theater.
Oh, you said that, yeah.
Fisher right downtown. Theater.
It's been renovated, right?
Oh, yeah. They're doing a great job. It's a wonderful place. Mm-hmm. We are so thankful for what it is. And one of the things I had read that really fired me up, excuse me, said, don't allow the price that needs to be paid for intercession to be a passive one.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
It will cost you energy, sleep, purity of motive, and greater faith to do things for other people.
That's actually a very important
statement. And I thought, boy,
this
has been a project, and RJ's right there beside me. You know, our history, the things that we've been through, God has set us up.
Yes.
He knows what we need.
Yes.
And, you know, as I grew up, my father took a job in an all-black college. He was an economics professor, and so I lived in a community where we was the only white people there.
Wow.
And, you see, it's given me a love for the brothers that the Lord knew. He knew all along that this had to come together. And I think great things are about to happen in this country.
Mm. So if somebody wanted more information or to attend, where is the Fisher Theater? Do you have an address or a phone number or website? Or how could somebody find out more, maybe that they want to attend? They live in and around the Danville area. Or they're getting kind of excited thinking, you know, I could do this in Decatur or Bloomington or Champaign-Urbana or wherever. How they could get in contact with you to figure out how you started it and what you did to get it launched.
NoonPrayerMeeting.com.
Noon, okay, I'm going to write that down. NoonPrayerMeeting.com.
Yes.
NoonPrayerMeeting.com.
And there's a Facebook page that I am struggling through. I am not a techie. And it's
a
real challenge.
You need somebody to come alongside you there.
Oh, yeah. But it's Danville's Businessman's Noonday Prayer Meeting.
Okay, now you've said businessmen twice.
Right. It's businessmen. Two words.
Uh-huh.
If you go to Facebook and type that in, you'll get that webpage, and it'll explain what we're doing.
But are women a...
Oh, yes. There's as many women there
people.
As there is men. Yeah. And my
the
daughter,
website is businessman, but it's welcoming business people.
Business people. Yeah. All right.
And my daughter called me immediately and said, Dad.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, wait a minute.
What do you mean, men?
That's all right.
Yes, as a matter of fact, since we've been started in Danville, this coming Wednesday will be the fourth meeting, won't it?
Well, I feel like we need to say the name of this book, because this was very inspiring to me, and it might just invigorate someone else to start a noon prayer meeting.
Yes.
It's called The New York City Noon Prayer Meeting by Talbot Chambers, A Simple Prayer Gathering That Changed the World, forward by Dutch Sheets. Fabulous, interesting book.
And in case you just tuned in, this program is archived and can be accessible at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, or wluj.org, wluj.org. You can maybe pass it on to a friend, maybe somebody you know that has a heart for prayer and would gather around a few friends of theirs, and then maybe they would institute a special prayer gathering at noon or at some point in their community. So you can find out more at noonprayermeeting.com. That's noonprayermeeting.com.
Yes, you know, one of the things, if you're going to start something like this, I'm with a group of guys. We get together every Saturday over coffee and pray. We have been doing that for 20, 30 years.
That doesn't include Herb Ketchum, does it?
No.
Okay, because he's in a bunch of these little groups, and I'm always finding people, I'm in that group with Herb Ketchum.
Doesn't the whole world know
that's on Saturdays. So.
Well, one of the guys in there has been an avid fan of yours is Kenneth Beatty, and he was in Singing Men. But to start off with something like this, you start small. And these guys have been praying. We've been praying together for something like this for a long time. Yeah. And when the Lord moved on one of us, everybody's there. So you can start your own little prayer meeting. It could be you and your wife, just a few people gathered up, and pray that the Lord will get you somewhere where it will affect people.
Roosevelt, you probably know this, but what's that verse? Where two or three are gathered in thy name, God is
Jesus
with
you. Jesus says, I'm in the midst.
So that's a powerful verse for you to even start yourself today with maybe just a friend and see where God will lead it. But you can find out more about the special noon gathering in Danville on Wednesdays at noonprayermeeting.com. noonprayermeeting.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marian Simpkins with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.